Welcome back to another edition of Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler, and the music playing in the background is a song called Bipolar, courtesy of Ike Turner. I just thought it was appropriate as I'm sitting here in South Florida, and we were fully expecting to be hit with this massive hurricane named Ike. That's the music. And luckily for us here in South Florida, Ike took a little turn left and headed south and ravaged Cuba today, is apparently passing over Havana with a direct hit. Poor people in Haiti, my God, they've been hit like four times in a row already this season, and we're only up to the eyes. Now, I know some people, when we were seeing Ike looming out there in the Atlantic, thought of Ike Eisenhower. But me, it went to the music. It went to Ike Turner. And Bipolar, perfect description of this storm anyway. And Ike Turner, too, I suppose. All right, but we don't need to go into hurricane mode. You can get those details and advisories elsewhere, I suppose. Just know that we're okay here in South Florida today, anyway. I think Josephine is lurking out there somewhere. But here we are on a Monday. It's week three. Wow, how time flies, huh? Week three, post-terrestrial radio, I suppose. And I'm plugging along with lots of ideas, and your support means so much to me. So I wanted to get that out there, and thank you for sticking with me and following me to the web and hopefully helping to enlist more people to this new form of radio, all right? And it'll evolve as we keep going. One thing I want to mention to you right here at the outset is obviously the last couple of weeks dealing with the conventions, we were focused on the national scene. But I want to get back to the thing, the reason that a lot of people listen to the radio show, which was dealing with issues right here at home. Because, well, as you know, right now there is no local progressive voice on the airwaves. So I want to give that to you here. I plan on taking this Radio or Not podcast and, as they call, syndicating it to other sites and hopefully working out arrangements with other media outlets and places that are, you know, that are South Florida to exchange web links and hopefully get more people joining us on Radio or Not. If there is a local issue that you want to address here, this is what this is for. So send me an email, radioornot@gmail.com, all one word, radioornot@gmail.com, or call the studio line, which is 954-889-6410. If you happen to catch me while I'm in the studio working, great, I'll take your call, roll tape, and we'll record it. If not, that's fine too. Leave a voicemail, and I can use your comment on a future episode of Radio or Not. All right, but I do want to hear what's of concern to you in our little world down here in South Florida. Obviously, the big issue, I think, right now, we've got 57 days until Election Day. And yes, we have the presidential election, but closer to home and almost, I think, as important are the three congressional races. We have Joe Garcia going after Mario Diaz-Balart. We have Raul Martinez going after Lincoln Diaz-Balart, and we have Annette Tadeo going after Ileana Ross-Leighton. All three of them stand really good chances of winning. All right, we also have contested races. I mean, Robert Wexler is being challenged pretty heartily with a lot of money behind his challenger. So we need to get out and support our local congressional candidates. And hopefully in the coming days, I will have all of them on the show and perhaps even do a weekly segment with each of them, you know, in the 6.5-7 weeks we have remaining leading up till November 4th. Because we got to mobilize people. We got to get out there and do whatever it takes to get them into office. All right. Another issue of concern to both residents of Dade and Broward counties. When last I left you on the radio, neither Dade teachers nor Broward teachers had a contract. Well, I got to correct that. The Dade teachers have a contract. Rudy Crewe just decided that he wasn't going to honor the contract by giving the teachers the raises that were provided for in that contract. He just said, well, the money's not there. Excuse me? Isn't it his job to make sure the money is there? To fulfill the contract that he signed? Well, you know that the school board voted just a few weeks ago, 4-3, against firing Rudy Crewe. Well, since then, we had the school board elections, and our friend Dr. Larry Feldman beat out Evelyn Greer for one of those seats. Now, Evelyn Greer was a staunch supporter of Dr. Crewe's. Larry Feldman, not so much. And now there is a meeting being held today. Now, Larry Feldman isn't an official school board member until, I believe, November. But he is there at the meeting today, and I hope to speak with him later today. We'll record something, and I'll, as soon as we do the interview, I will put it up on the podcast. See, that's the beauty of this. I don't have to wait until tomorrow morning to get that to you. As soon as I can talk to Larry Feldman, I'll just put up another episode of Radio or Not. So we'll bring that to you. I also have calls in to Robin Bartleman, who is the chair of the Broward School Board. And yes, she won her reelection bid. And as well as Pat Santoramo, who's the president of the Broward Teachers Union, because Broward finally negotiated a new contract, raises for the teachers, and we'll get all the details on that, the concessions both sides had to give and what they wound up with. All right. So we'll do all of that. And again, as soon as I get those interviews done, we'll just load them, upload them. And so some days here at Radio or Not, you'll have one segment. Some days you could have as many as three or four. But, you know, it's a whole new world where we're learning to navigate here at Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler. Now, just a little while ago, I spoke with somebody who was a frequent contributor to the show, a listener, but who would send me emails, who would occasionally call in and always have something, I think, interesting to add to the conversation. And I got an email yesterday from Dr. Sora Dubitsky, who teaches a class at FIU, really on human relationships, human sexuality. Actually, I'll let her explain a little bit about her background. Dr. Sora Dubitsky with us on Radio or Not.
I teach psychology classes. I have a doctorate in psychology from FIU. I'm also a writer, a speaker, workshop leader, self-help guru. No, kidding. Aspiring self-help guru. No, a serious educator.
Right.
I taught classes in almost, I do spiritual counseling as well. I don't want to deny my almost 30-year spiritual studies background. I'm one of the fellows on FIU Center for the Study of Spirituality. Primarily, my focus is teaching psychology to 20-year-olds. Health, wellness, positive psychology, you know, how to optimize human living, you know, make human living better.
And we've spoken quite a bit over the last year, and you wrote in to me, emailed to the radio show quite a bit, and weighed in on different issues. And you sent me an email the other day that said, hi, Nicole, I'm tired of right-wing hypocrisy, especially about sex. Here's some info, link to my blog about it. And you blog at religionandspirituality.com. And I'll put a link to that, to your blog, on my blog at radioornot.com. But you wrote, Bristol Palin's pregnancy offers us an opportunity to have an honest, heartfelt national dialogue about sexuality. The Bible says, by their fruits shall you know them. What fruits have our current abstinence-only policies created? And then you went on to say, the piece is controversial. I think that Sarah Palin's daughter's pregnancy needs to be discussed as part of a national conversation about sex education. Clearly, what's being communicated to young people is not creating the desired results. But, you know, when you said hypocrisy and you just touched on it, it's like, do as I say, not as I do. And that seems to be their mantra over there.
That's right. And the rest of the piece exposes all the hypocrisy. It is do as I say, not as I do. It's institutionalized what the Republican platform and the people who subscribe to it want to do is institutionalize one way, and that way is abstinence. And if you read the Republican Party platform, that's the only part of education they'll fund. I mean,
the only part of education they'll fund is abstinence-only education.
Yeah, they're not, you know, if you look through the platform, they want to give control to the parents. You know, it's local control, parental control, everyone, and your parents should have choice, and they're not offering. They're not offering any programs. It's just it's in your hand. We'll give you tax credits, and a lot of what they talk about in terms of education is what you talked about in the radio all year. They want to privatize
everything.
You know, everything, including education, and they're questioning governments, national governments' role if government should even fund education. Until you get to this part about, let's see, here it is, we should have parent schools. Here, we renew our call for replacing family planning programs for teens with increased funding for abstinence education, which teaches abstinence-only marriage as the responsible and expected standard of behavior. So that's what's being funded.
Wow.
And it's clearly not working. We have, you know, we have Bristol Palin pregnant at 17. If her mother said, wait till you're married, that
obviously
didn't
it didn't work. And you know what? It goes even deeper with his family, because apparently Sarah Palin and her husband got married because she was pregnant. She got pregnant out of wedlock when she was very young with their first son.
That I had not heard of yet, and I was going to do more research on that.
Yeah, and her parenting skills obviously leave a lot to be desired. The oldest son, the one who's about to go off to Iraq, you know why he's going off to Iraq? Because it was a sentence. Because the kid was getting in all kinds of trouble. He ran away from home. He ran away for like his whole senior year of high school. Came back only to graduate. Now, why the state will let him graduate when he didn't complete his senior year is another question. Maybe it has something to do with his mom being governor and pulling some strings. But the fact of the matter is he was in trouble with the law. And he basically had a choice. You can enlist or you can serve some time. And so he chose to enlist. These are the stories we don't hear.
It's sickening.
It is sickening.
So sickening.
Yet they hold themselves up as these high moral authorities. And yet, excuse me, people in glass houses. Isn't that the old saying? They want to regulate our morality, yet,
look
in your own backyard.
Yeah, one of the things I wrote about is that, and I'm sure you heard this, when Sarah Palin came out and said, made the public announcement about her daughter being pregnant, her words were, Bristol chose to keep her baby.
Yep.
And that set up red flags for me. It set up red flags for the Daily Show, Samantha Bee.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-mm.
Catch it on the web. It's brilliant. Samantha Bee is, you know who she is. She's a female, kind of snarky, funny reporter on The Daily Show. So she was at the Republican National Convention, and she was interviewing people about, now, what do you think about Bristol Palin's pregnancy, and, oh, it's a private matter. And they're all saying, this is a private matter. So she's saying, let's see. Bristol Palin made a decision. Now, what do you call that? What do you call that decision? there's different alternatives.
Right,
there's a word for that. There's
choice,
a word for that.
Choice.
And they're not, it's a private matter. It's a private matter.
Right, uh-huh.
And then in another interview, she's saying something, going through that same spiel about, what do you call that word? I can't think of the word. I think it rhymes with voice.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen that, but in an earlier episode of Radio or Not, I went there as well. I mean, yes, she talked about how her daughter chose to have the baby, how, she was pregnant with this Downs child, and she chose to, but she wants to make it so that nobody else can have that choice.
Exactly. And who was on? Joe Biden was being interviewed yesterday on Meet the Press, Tom Brokaw.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brokaw so he asked him about faith. And, let's talk about faith. When does life start? So I could go off on that one. Does faith only mean abortion or same-sex marriage? So that would be like a three-hour discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden talked about when, as a Catholic, he thinks life starts at conception. And it's also been argued amongst theologians. So there is no decisive theological opinion or injunction. Okay, here's where life starts.
Right.
It has been debated. And then he went on to say that as a Catholic, this is what his faith professes. He cannot impose his faith on other people.
Well, thank you.
There are other people who are well-meaning, who have just as much faith as he has, but have different lives, have different different situations, different things, coming to them. And why should he impose his values on other people? And that's the crazy part of this whole thing. Here are our values, and we want you to abide by our values. And yet, when you look at it, their values don't work. Abortion rates have gone up. There's statistics about that. Kids are having sex at younger ages. And I go back to this whole thing that, okay, my generation, we were the baby boomers. Of course, we think we invented sex, which we did not. We just made it known. We were loud. Okay, here's the sexual revolution. And that sexual, of course, I speak from, in retrospect now, that sexual revolution certainly did not make us any happier, and it certainly didn't help us stay in long-term relationships. And in the end of the search, the realization is sex without love is meaningless. And at least we had the search.
Mm-hmm.
At least we had the option to do that. So every generation is engaged in its own sexual exploration. How can the previous generation just say, okay, here's the guidepost. Here's what you need to look out for. Don't get pregnant. Now, when I took the sexual behavior class, these are 20-year-olds. And they know everything. They just do. They know. They've already done everything, and yet, in the education they received, sex is means one thing. It means intercourse.
So everything else is fair game. So these abstinence-only programs teach that it's okay to have oral sex, that it's okay to have anal sex, even because it's not. It can't produce a baby.
That's right.
Anything else is acceptable, and is so those are the lessons they're teaching their kids?
That's what they're teaching their kids. Anything, Lovely. Sex is intercourse, and that's it. And not that it's acceptable, but because they think only intercourse is bad, they're doing everything else, and the rate of sexual transmitted diseases has also increased under this policy. The statistics, one in four 14 to 20-year-olds has an STD, or an STI, sexually transmitted infection. Infections can be cleared up, but herpes never goes away.
It's forever.
That's right. This is what I tell my kids. Love comes and goes, but herpes lasts forever.
Right.
So be careful. Kids at like 12, 13, they're having oral sex.
Right. I don't want to hear this. My daughter's 9. It scares the crap out of
me.
Well, when I was a kid, getting pregnant.
And what does that mean? That's something else that we need, as a society, we need to look at. Why are these kids maturing so early?
Right. And so now bringing it full circle, now the Republicans are, and even taking the hypocrisy a step further, they're saying, well, this is a private matter. Leave my family alone. Leave her family alone.
Right.
But then they trot the Bristol Palin and pregnant Bristol Palin and her baby daddy out for a photo op to shake hands with John McCain and have him sitting, in the gallery at the convention while he's delivering his speech. Like these are role models for the American youth.
In essence,
we saw what he wrote on his MySpace page, and he's a thug. But guess what? As I said in a previous episode, they're a good-looking family. They're right out of Central Casting. It doesn't matter what the reality is. They'll just put them out there and say, this is the all-American family. Well, great. A kid pregnant at 16 who, chose to give birth to... What about all those pregnant teenagers who can't afford to keep the baby, whose economics don't allow for that, and they're being taught that this is the admirable thing to do?
That's right.
It's so wrong on so many levels.
And, I can't think of her name. Well, we know Brittany. It was the Brittany sister.
Right, Jamie Lynn Spears. Right. Oh, and there was the whole thing where she called Bristol and, gave her a little pep speech. Well, I'm sorry. Those aren't the lessons I want my daughter to learn.
And when they get pregnant, I mean, the moral depravity that they are judged to have, you know, this is Hollywood. Look at Hollywood morals. These young girls right. are getting pregnant out of wedlock, and this is they should be blamed, and they should be, you know,
yeah,
judged
wasn't it Rush
bad
Limbaugh?
And sinners, and we're going to call them sinners, and look at the, you know, they're bad. Bristol good.
Right. Now, yeah. you mentioned the Daily Show and the brilliance that they've shown over the last few weeks. Well, there was a piece on hypocrisy that you may have forwarded me. I posted it yesterday on the blog at RadioOrNot.com because a lot of people forwarded it to me. And, you know, on one hand, they have Rush Limbaugh, you know, and in one breath, really criticizing Virginia Governor Tim Kaine when it looked like he was on the shortlist
right.
for Obama because
right.
of his lack of experience and, you know, his small town background.
Right.
The exact and in the next breath, it shows him praising Sarah Palin,
right.
which was totally, you know, total hypocrisy. But they also showed Bill O'Reilly, you know, on the one hand, blaming, I guess, Jamie Lynn Spears' parents for her getting pregnant,
right.
and it's just
right.
bad
Good.
Parenting. And then on the next, in the next breath, you know, extolling the virtues of Bristol Palin and her mother, Sarah. So, you know,
exactly.
it's whatever suits
exactly.
their purposes.
Exactly. That's what you're talking about. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's the hypocrisy.
Yep. Yep.
And then, to even go back to, yeah, this is really controversial. Using the Bible, and that's something else in that long blog I just wrote about. Okay, the Bible, you know, the Bible has injunctions against homosexuality. It does talk about that. The Bible also, the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Okay, we have injunctions against fooling around, injunctions against homosexuality, and yet those injunctions have never, ever worked.
Mm-hmm.
Every civilization has dealt with infidelity and has dealt with homosexuality, and those injunctions were written for a time when you were also dealing with cleanliness laws. You were dealing with lifting people out of you know, going from being completely uncivilized to civilized.
Mm-hmm.
So the, you know, every time and place calls for its own injunctions. We're in a different time and place now. So to use the Bible,
right. Well, the Bible
as go ahead.
What happened to the separation between church and state?
Well, that's,
you know,
important
and,
too, of course.
Right,
that's major.
But I'm so tired of them, you know, foisting their morality and their religion on me.
Exactly.
I don't follow their religion. It's nowhere in the Constitution. And since when did the Bible become an adjunct to the laws that govern this land?
Exactly. And I know I once emailed you that Dr. Laura stuff about the Bible. I mean, if you take the Bible literally, I mean, it's okay to have incest. You know,
right,
that's okay.
But then
it's okay
you stone
to sell
somebody
your daughter
who,
into slavery.
Right, exactly.
It's okay to stone people.
That's right.
I mean, literal interpretation of that particular law, you know, that religious law, isn't really even done anymore amongst Jewish people, or at least amongst Jewish people I know. You know, and that, I mean, that's the Old Testament God who was the punishing God. And if they really, you know, if Christians really believe in Jesus, isn't Jesus all about forgiveness and
right.
loving your neighbor?
But again, the whole question of Jesus should not be in this political process.
Absolutely.
You know,
I agree.
Rush
I agree.
Limbaugh
totally.
Going nuts on how great Sarah Palin is, and it's Jesus, guns, and whatever, I mean, sorry, Jesus.
Gay, guns, and God.
Yeah,
gay, guns, and God.
Well,
and the only reason I bring up Jesus is they're not even, they don't even think about Jesus as the symbol of forgiveness. You know,
no.
I don't know who their Jesus
well,
is. You know, you their know, Jesus is not love and forgiveness. Their Jesus is still about punishment.
Right. Well, Dora,
and I agree Jesus shouldn't even be brought into discussion about the Constitution.
Right, because if there's anything that's going to shut me down, they did it right there. Sorry, Jesus is not in my, you know, spiritual realm. It's just not a thing for me. So right there, they're excluding major portions of the population, but I guess enough of people are with them that this is a growing thing.
Well, I just looked up some stats and just to see, you know, what is our religious breakdown in this country. And this is from actually the CIA, CIA.gov. Ethnic groups. Protestants make up 51.3% of this country, Roman Catholics 23.9%, Mormons 1.7%, other Christian 1.6%, Jews 1.7%.
We're that small of a minority, Buddhist, Muslims, huh?
we get smaller.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I guess we are a tiny minority.
You know, we're a vocal minority, but I guess that, you know, Jesus can be injected into modern political practices because there are so many believers out there.
Not all of them do believe in abortion, though. Not all of them share these values. I'd like to find some stats, and there were some stats I just looked at that people are... fewer people identify themselves as Christian now than they did in the 1990s. And then the fastest growing religions or beliefs that, are the two extremes, either religious extremists or people who don't identify themselves as religious at all but say that they're spiritual.
And that's
a growing group, and I would count myself in that group. I don't identify with any one religion, and I think I have just as much faith as anyone in terms of spiritual ideals. And my spiritual ideal is love and forgiveness. That's my spiritual ideal.
Well, that's what it should be.
And love and forgive.
Isn't that the basis of Christianity? Although they seem to have forgotten that.
Yes, they have forgotten that. There was something else, too, and this is something you've talked about. And again, looking at the Republican National Platform.
By the way, you sent me the links to the Republican platform and the Democratic platform.
Yes, I
will put those on the blog today as well so people can read them. By the way, Dr. Sora Dubitsky with us here on Radio or Not. And I'll let you get to that in a second. But the other thing that I wanted to just touch base with you on, because you are a student and a professor of human relationships, was the contrast between the two conventions. And I talked about this in an earlier show as well, where with the Democrats at that convention in Denver, I saw a lot of hopeful faces, happy faces, smiles, peace, love, and happiness, that kind of attitude and that feeling overwhelmingly coming out of that room. The following week from St. Paul, it was just a different feeling. I saw mean-spirited people. I saw frowns. I saw anger. I saw just a nasty quality in there, and that came from a lot of the speeches. But the people, when they were talking about fighting and aggression,
that's what
got the crowd cheering, and they were angry and rather than hopeful and cheering in a good way. There was such a contrast to me, and I haven't heard a lot of talk about that.
If you read the platforms, and I'm glad I did that. I'm not even sure what prompted me to do that. It's like, let's see. Let's get it from, direct from the source. I'm tired of having pundits, interpret this stuff for me.
Uh-huh.
Let's see what they're actually saying. So I spent about 4 hours reading both platforms. And the Republican platform has this punitive edge to it. It starts out talking about national security. First thing is defense. National security, including we have the right to preemptively strike anyone who any country that could affect our national security. So right off the bat, they're talking about defensiveness. If they talk about teachers, they say, okay, we're going to dismiss, we can dismiss teachers. Who don't meet the grade. They say the teachers have a right to punish. That's just the focus on education. They also say that they go into this thing about frivolous lawsuits. Let me see if I can find the thing about teachers. Schools, higher education, partnerships between schools. Here it is. I mean, forget the punitive stuff. I can't find that right now. But our country's reliance upon foreign talent in those areas begin with insufficient emphasis upon them. In high school years, we applaud those who are changing that situation. Giving people real-life experience in the private sector. There is stuff about I don't know if I can find here, we advocate policies and methods. This is probably, we advocate policies and methods that are proven and effective, building on the basics, especially phonics, ending social promotion, merit pay for good teachers, classroom discipline, parental involvement, and strong leaderships, and support parental options,
mm-hmm.
including homeschooling.
Yeah.
Local
they like that homeschooling,
such as schools
boy.
Or classes for boys and girls. There was something about it's okay to sue teachers who are bad. And I can't get the exact
because we
words,
pay them so well, they've just got so much money.
Punishing.
Right. Yeah, well, that's and that's the attitude, these attitudinal differences. Theirs is about, you know, I don't know, it's just an overwhelming, overriding negative feeling, where with the Democratic Convention, I had this very positive feeling. However, the thing that's scary is the negative talk from the Republicans, the speech from Rudy Giuliani, which was just full of sarcasm and snipes and nastiness, followed by Sarah Palin's speech, which was more of the same, might be more effective. Because here we are, you know, the week after both conventions are done, and in the latest, at least, Gallup poll,
McCain is up.
McCain is 50 to Obama's 45 or something.
So fear and smear works.
Fear and smear works. And again, the Democrats trying to take the high road. And I don't
know that.
And,
I know. And
it doesn't work.
Saying this is off limits.
Yeah.
And,
well, guess what? Not off limits for me. Because I'm
not.
Right,
nor me. Nor right. me. Not, and of course, not with the intention of maligning. Don't blame
no,
the poor kids.
Fighting fire with fire.
Look at the policy, you know, and I think, you know, of course, fire with fire, of course, you know, like several commentators said, if Sarah was a poor black girl from a ghetto, it would be look at the moral depravity, look at her family, you know, blame her, she's a slut.
That's right. Now, if say Obama's younger, older daughter, Malia,
that's
instead
right.
of being 10, were 18, and she got pregnant out of wedlock, see? Look what you got there.
That's exactly right. And just something else in the Republican platform, and this is something that you've brought up when you did the show about judges. There's a section about maintaining the sanctity and dignity of human life.
Mm-hmm.
We assert the inherent dignity of the unborn.
Oh God. Yeah. So
we support
when
human life amendments to the Constitution,
oh
and we
God.
Endorse legislation to make clear that the 14th Amendment protections apply to unborn children, and they support appointment of judges who respect that.
Of course they do. But yet there's no provision in there for after the child is born. Then
exactly.
Then whose responsibility is it? The poor mother who can't afford to take care of her kid.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
So you're right about, I mean, any platform that starts out with national defense is punitive just by definition.
And it's not so much of defense, it's offense. Everything
exactly.
in them is, we're going to go out there, we're going to police the world, we're going to put democracy. Well, you know what? It's not our place. How about we deal with things here at home? How about we take care of our friends and neighbors? How about we have common decency and compassion as part
right.
of our platform? And
right.
I think the Democrats do and the Republicans don't. That's the main difference between us.
The Democratic platform starts out with empowering families for new era. And these
uh-huh.
are just the highlights, the sections. Affordable quality health care, retirement, good jobs, work and family, poverty, and opportunity for women. Then they're talking about investing in energy.
Of course. Investing in our
higher
future.
Education. The Democrats, one financial thing, they're allowing a $4,000 tax credit to go towards higher education expenses. Science, technology, innovation. How can we be innovative leaders? How could we be innovative leaders if we don't have a public policy that supports innovation in a public school system? The Republicans are supporting homeschooling. Now, how can what I teach my kid at home, especially if it's based on a Bible,
mm-hmm.
that sounds really disparaging.
But
and
it is.
Angry.
But it is.
Especially
I'm sorry. It's based on literature.
You know, creationism,
yep.
compete with China. Even compete with India. There was just an article yesterday about how pharmaceutical companies
mm-hmm.
are farming out their research initiatives to India.
Yeah, Oh, I know.
So even those jobs. So go study science. Go study, biology, chemistry. You know, be a scientist, and then you're going to have to travel to India to get the job because pharmaceutical companies are shipping those out also.
All right, Dr. Sordubitsky, we're just running out of time here, but I'm going to put a link to both your blog, religionandspirituality.com. I don't have an.
Yeah, that's the website.
Right.
There's I should my piece should be on the front page, and then that'll link to the archives of old stories. And I've been writing about sex now for 2 years, and we've had this discussion, and you know, perhaps it's my age. I just feel it's time to be honest about sex. Why do young people have sex? It's biological. It's a drive. It's interesting. It's fun. It's exciting. This is what people, young people, do.
Right.
And to repress that, to say thou shalt not doesn't work.
No, you educate them as to what's there, what the consequences are, what your choices are, and there we go back to the word choice again.
Exactly. And also the thing that I quote in that piece by Randy about, you know, this idea of power. You know, when you have sex, that is powerful. And think about, like, who do you want to be with? You know, what do you want the consequences to be? As a psychologist, behavior has consequences. That's my mantra these days.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not teaching the kids the natural consequences of sexual behavior.
No, well, right now they're learning that you can be a total screw-up, as in the case of the Levi, and Bristol Palin, and you get an audience with the Republican presidential nominee, and
right.
You get to sit in the gallery at the convention and look like you're a role model.
That's right.
Something
well,
wrong
we already
with this
have
picture.
Someone in the office like that, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, we certainly do. Sora Dubitsky, great talking to you. Thank you for participating in the podcast, and I'll put the links to not only your blogs but the Democratic and Republican platforms, which people should take the time to read if you have the time. That's going to do it for this edition of Radio or Not. I'm Nicole Sandler. Tomorrow, we will be joined in the studio, yes, my studio, you should see it, by Kelly Mitchell. If you're a longtime South Floridian, you'll remember Kelly from her days as a news anchor at both Channel 10 and Channel 7. We crossed paths very briefly at WFTL before I went to work at INZ. I worked for about 5 minutes at WFTL with Kelly, and now we both find ourselves basically in the same situation. That would be unemployed, looking towards the future. So we're going to see what we might be able to put together between the two of us. So, again, later today, as soon as I get to speak with Pat Santoramo, president of the Broward Teachers Union, Robin Bartleman, chairwoman of the Broward School Board, and Larry Feldman, the newest member of the Miami-Dade School Board, we'll get those conversations, those interviews up on the blog for you at radioornot.com. And again, tomorrow, Kelly Mitchell joining me here. Have a great day. Stay clear of Ike. And we'll talk soon. Radio or not.